Wow, what a day. It's been a wonderful, marvelous day. I just want to say publicly, here in front of all of you, a real thank you to our youth group for that marvelous early morning 7 o'clock service, where this sanctuary was transformed into the Last Supper scene. And the Epworth room became the empty tomb. It was moving. I always can count on something like that at this church. So if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. So I came to the church the other day, earlier this week, and I noticed the electronic sign on a nearby drugstore. And in the place where I usually see red LED letters scrolling by announcing milk for $2.49 a gallon, or that flu shots are now available, I saw instead an announcement saying, "Make us your Easter destination." A drugstore. Then it scrolled again, and it said, "Everything you need to build your Easter basket." Wow. Everything I need about Easter in a drugstore. Now, I enjoy Easter baskets. I made sure that Terry and I went out for a little shopping. Our kids aren't home anymore, but I made sure we went out yesterday and put together some Easter baskets for ourselves. It's great that the kids are gone now. Because I enjoy biting the ears off of hollow chocolate bunnies. And I enjoy the sticky fingers that accompany marshmallow peeps. And I've always been fascinated by the unnatural, shiny green that comes with plastic grass. When our children were younger and still living at home, we always made sure that Easter baskets awaited them on that joyous morning before we left for church. When I say we, I really mean Terry. She always made sure. So I am not a grouch about these things. I really do appreciate all of that stuff that goes with Easter baskets. But I am quite certain that the corner drugstore should not be our Easter destination. And I am equally confident that hollow chocolate bunnies and marshmallow peeps and shiny green plastic grass are not the real stuff of Easter. Once again, our consumer culture works to trivialize the profound and distract us away from things essential as it points us toward things inconsequential. Happens all the time. So if you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. Well, having said all this and having made fun of the corner drugstore, I want to tell you that I am still kind of intrigued by the metaphor offered by that scrolling drugstore sign. What would be the content of our spiritual Easter basket if such things could be bundled up in a way and that would allow us to carry them with us through life? Now, that would be an Easter basket worth building. Might have been nice this past Thursday to have had one as I sat with Terry through her last scheduled chemotherapy treatment. Would have been great to have that kind of an Easter basket in that moment. Digging through such an Easter basket, I would not be looking for hollow chocolate Easter bunnies. Instead, I would be looking for the solid promise. The solid promise of Jesus, reassuring me that fear is now conquered and hope is ours to embrace in the worst moments of that day. I would not have been searching for sticky marshmallow peeps. I would instead be sticking to the love of God revealed in a Savior who remained faithful to God, even though it took him to a cross. And instead of pushing aside green plastic grass, I would have touched the foundational wonder of a God who cannot be bound by death. So if you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. I refilled it, Nancy. I am grateful this morning for the inclusion of this Colossians passage in the lectionary for this Easter morning, because it directs us toward the essential question that we must all ask. If Easter is to be more than simply a celebration of something that once happened to Jesus, and I am afraid that oftentimes in our celebrations, that's where we stop. In the face of the wonderful mystery of the resurrection, how shall we live? If we are those who embrace a God of love that this world is powerless to stop, how shall we give witness to that love in the lives that we live day in and day out? If we are those who accept the reality of the resurrection, how shall we behave in a world that accepts nothing as eternal? The magnificent truth of Easter is that resurrection is ours as well as something that happened to Jesus. The resurrected life is both in this present moment and in the life beyond this life. The latter is a mystery that awaits our discovery. The former is the transformation to be lived in this present moment. So if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. Well, in truth, Terry and I have been given a gigantic Easter basket packed full of hope and trust and love and caring. This church has been a constant source of those essentials throughout this ordeal of illness. Whenever our stash of hope has run low, you have been there to replenish our supply and let us know that your doing so is an expression of the love you have known in Jesus Christ. Whenever our trust has wavered, you have been there to build us up. You have helped us set our minds on things that are above and not on things that are on earth. More than that, I've noticed something. I've noticed that this living as Easter people is not just reserved for Terry and me. I have witnessed this capacity within this church constantly as I visit with those who have already received your expressions of love and support, and they have shared with me what a powerful presence of Christ that is in their lives. I go to Marwood and someone's already delivered flowers. I knock on the door of one of our homebound, and when I'm offered in, there are cards in a row lined up from people in this church. It happens all the time. This is the way we as a church respond to the magnificent mystery of the resurrection. We will not be cowed by death. We will live as a community of love and hope, no matter what the circumstances of the moment may be. And you have learned your lesson well. This is Easter, understood within the context of the entire Passion story. And I have to tell you, I do not remember a year where it all fit together, at least in my heart, so well. Monday, Thursday, we invited you on a meditative walk that ended here in the sanctuary for Holy Communion. And you brought forward the burdens of your life represented by a stone. And those stones are still here at the foot of the cross. And on Friday, we gathered as a community of churches in the Old Town area once again for a Good Friday service in a traditional, almost Stations of the Cross kind of service, and I was deeply moved. Not by the slickness of it, but by the authenticity of it. This has been that kind of an Easter season, a passion story for me, where it's all come together. I remind you that on that Monday, Thursday, when these stones appeared up here as expressions of the burdens that people carried, we remembered that Jesus on that Holy Thursday gave to his disciples a new commandment, a mandatum novum. That's where we get Monday Thursday from. And this is that new commandment, said Jesus, that you should love one another as I have loved you. On Good Friday, we embraced the reality that Jesus remained faithful to love, even though it would lead him to the cross. And it is his faithfulness that compels us to follow in our own lives. And today we rejoice that God's purpose of love defies the world's effort to stamp it out. And we commit ourselves once again to be God's Easter people. Now we live with no thought of death, because we know that love transcends death. We live in a world that continues to be captivated by power and by death. And in the face of the media focus on death and anger and the immediate and renewed experience of Easter, I am moved to ask again if we are ready and willing to embrace this new reality that Easter brings. Does resurrection have something to say to us now in this life? Or is resurrection an expected victory that waits for the apocalyptic end of days? If our faith defines us as the Easter people, as I fervently believe it does, what does that mean as we live in a world so captivated by hopelessness and fear? What is the attitude appropriate for Christians who honor a God of love and who turn to the life of Jesus to gain clarity on what that love requires of us? So, if you have been raised in Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. The corner drugstore is not our Easter destination, no matter what the scrolling LED sign may say. The love of God revealed to us in the risen Christ is our destination. Building our Easter basket has nothing to do with hollow chocolate bunnies or marshmallow peeps. Easter people are filled with baskets, have filled their baskets with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control, and all of the things that come with knowing the power of God to conquer the grave. And we are now those who set their minds on things that are above and not on things that are on earth. Thanks be to God.